People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Now you say, well, I'm under grace and God's pleased with me no matter what. And you're right, we're saved by grace. You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven. I mean, the thief on the cross didn't even get baptized and he went to heaven. Jesus said, this day thou wilt be with me in paradise. You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christians can please the Father and they can displease the Father.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing the Mission.
This morning, every family here is on a journey. Some are continuing forward for the Lord. Some may be drifting along the way. A recent book that I read entitled Mission Drift by Peter Greer talked about the fact that many organizations begin with a specific purpose, but over time they drift away from their purpose. And he talked about great places like Harvard University that was established for the purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ. And yet today at Harvard University, you'll rarely hear the name of Christ and normally only in a cursing context. He talked about Princeton University. The founder of Princeton, Jonathan Witherspoon, said, "Cursed be all learning that is not subject to the cross of Jesus Christ." And yet you'll rarely hear the truth of Jesus Christ at Princeton. He talked about many parachurch ministries that started off as Christian ministries, but somewhere along the line, they began to develop mission drift. And in fact, there are many churches and sometimes whole denominations today that are in mission drift. They have become so liberal concerning the Bible that their outlook on every other aspect of life is liberal and unbiblical because they are in mission drift. Well, we are declaring this year that Lancaster Baptist Church is not in drift mode, but we want to continue the mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this is all about. This is all about saying we want to move forward for God for the mission that God has given to us. Now, as Paul is writing to the church of the Philippians, many of you will remember that this is what is called a prison epistle, meaning by that Paul wrote this book of the Bible from a Roman prison. He was attached at times to the Praetorian Guard and kept there under house watch. And as he was there in prison, he would dictate out his letters and write these letters to the churches. And from Rome, he wrote to the church at Philippi. And what he says about Philippi so thrills my heart. And I pray that in these next 20 or 30 minutes, you'll catch the essence of it with me, because they were an exceptional church. He is writing to commend them for giving to the mission's work, the gospel mission. He's thanking them for the offering that their pastor, Epaphroditus, had brought to them there in the prison at Rome. And he thanks them for having a part of the mission of the gospel. In fact, just to get a little backdrop, look back a few verses at verse 10 and notice what he says here, there. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." What's the next word say? "Again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." So he's telling this church, listen, you have repeatedly, continually been a part of the mission. When I first left Macedonia, you supported me. Now that I'm here in Rome in prison, you didn't forget me. But time and again, you've been a part of the mission. You've been continuing with the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank God that I've had the privilege of pastoring a people who are a part of the mission again and again, saying, "Lord, use us for your honor and for your glory." Well, I want you to notice how they continued, and I want us to learn from them today. I want you to notice, first of all, that they had a continual stewardship. A continual stewardship. This church constantly looked at what God had given to them, and they thought in terms of how can we use this for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot down a significant word in this verse, and it is the word communicated. The word communicated. And it is a Greek word, koinoneo, and it talks about fellowship, and it talks about working together, and it talks especially, if you study the word definition, about associating with one financially. Paul said, you communicated with me, you associated with me. The way we would say it in today's vernacular, you supported me. Now, when I was a Bible college student, every once in a while, there would be an older man in the church where I was attending and later where I was preaching that would come up to me and he would shake my hand and that was a blessing. He'd say, keep up the good work. There was another man that would sometimes shake my hand, and in the handshake, there was a $5 bill or a $10 bill. Now, both were communicating, but one was really communicating. And Paul said, you communicated with me. You were involved with me when I started my missionary work, and now at the end, you're still involved with me. That's what the Bible tells us in another verse, and I want you to hold your place in Colossians and turn over to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, just a few pages back there. Hebrews chapter 13, hold your place in the book of Philippians. And I want you to know that everything we're talking about relative to stewardship is right from the Bible. So that's why I want you to turn to Hebrews 13, 16. And I want you to see what it says here in this verse. And notice in verse 15 it says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So God says when we do good works, when we communicate concerning the gospel message and ministry, God is pleased with that. And God was pleased with the church at Philippi, for they had continually stewarded the blessings that God gave to them, not just for a period of time, but over a length of time. The Bible speaks of this in many ways. It is to, first of all, communicate cooperatively. This church communicated with a cooperative effort. The Bible tells us here in verse 15, no church communicated with me. So this was not necessarily a few of the people of the church, but this was the church giving together an offering and then sending it off to the Apostle Paul. They were a communicating church. They were involved communicating in a cooperative effort. And they did so with a willing heart. The Bible tells us in Exodus 35, 22, as the tabernacle was being built, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and they brought their offerings, and they offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. You see, it's a wonderful thing when people of a willing heart say, we want to continue the mission. This idea of getting people saved, this idea of preaching the gospel, that's not just the pastor's idea. That's not just someone else's idea. But all of us want to have a part in continuing the mission of our Lord. That's why in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, as everyone of us pray this week about the gospel mission and about reaching children and about our part in the continual offering, then all of us collectively can do something that's presented to God for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was watching one of the men in the choir this morning, a young married man, and he was singing in the choir, and I was thinking about his father. His father is one of our missionaries. And as I was thinking about his dad, I remember when we began supporting his dad as a missionary in Chiapas, Mexico. And I was thinking about all the times our church has sent offerings and love offerings on a monthly basis. We communicate to his dad. And we don't just say, good job, but we communicate with him financially. And even as Paul said, when he first went, we supported him. And now, even towards the latter part of his ministry, still supporting him. And I want to be that kind of a church that generationally is involved in going forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they communicated cooperatively. But notice, secondly, they communicated corporately. In other words, as a church body, they were involved concerning giving and receiving. They were faithful to gather together as a family and give to the work of the Lord. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul says, when I was ministering in that other town, you sent offerings. When I got to Rome, you sent offerings. You have continued the mission. You have been a part of the work on a perpetual basis. Many people are a part of the Lord's work for 5 years or 4 years, or until something happens that offends them, or until they get tired, or until this, or until that. But this church, for a long time, had continually served and given to the mission. Notice, thirdly, they communicated continually. As we said a moment ago, once and again unto my necessity. My prayer is that Lancaster Baptist, my prayer is that each of us will be once and again Christians. Would you say that with me? Once and again. One more time. Once and again. And if that happens, it's only by the grace of God working in our heart. It's not that we'll say, I'm a used to be preacher, I'm a used to be giver, I'm a used to be this. But once and again, God moves on our heart to be a part of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think back to so many banquets. The very first banquet we called Giving by Faith. We were a young married couple, and we were asking all the families in our church to start giving, because at that time we had 32 parking spots and less than an acre downtown. And we called it Giving by Faith because we didn't know what we were giving to. We didn't have a particular piece of property. We didn't have a building to buy. I just said, folks, I really believe we're going to need the room. We were running at that time in church, maybe 180, maybe 200. And I said, let's get together and do our very best to give. And I'll never forget that night. We had 50 people that gathered, about 25 families. It took about 90 minutes to get 50 people through the line to get their dinner. And it was just kind of a disorganized situation, but we were having fun. We were just glad to be there. We were giving to something we didn't even know what we were giving to. We were just glad to be giving. God was at work. There was joy in the church. And that night, as we counted the offering, we had some more piano playing, and then we counted the offering and announced it. Our church had given $50,000 by faith to wherever God wanted us to go. And it was really just a matter of days until I was able to hear about this property. We saw the sign. We went and talked to the man, and I was young at that time, and I'm still young. I understand that, but I'm relatively speaking, I was a pretty young pastor, and I said, just wanted to know about the property. We're looking for more property for the future of our church. And he said, oh, you wouldn't be able to do this. He said, in fact, just to get it in escrow, you're going to need $50,000. And I looked the man in the eye and said, no problem. God had provided. God had provided. And with that giving by faith, God allowed us to buy the property upon which you're sitting right now. Just some young families stepping out by faith. You know, I'm thankful tonight through the years for Christians in this church. When times have been up in the economy and down in the economy, when families are doing well and not so well, instant in season, out of season, again and again, just saying, Lord, we want to further the mission. We want to be a part of the mission of getting the gospel message out to the Antelope Valley. This church had a continual stewardship. And secondly, they had a continual sacrifice. The Bible tells us something about their sacrifice. In verse 17, I want you to notice it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, this is a critical principle in giving, and so I want you to understand what Paul is saying here. First of all, let's begin by reading it together. Verse 17, ready, begin. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit. All right, now you found it. Let's read it a little louder. Ready, begin. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire. Now, Paul said, you're doing well. You gave at first, you gave in the middle, you're giving again. And he says, I want to tell you something. This isn't because I want a gift or a present. He said, in fact, he said, I'm full. My needs are met. He said, I'm writing you not because of what I want, but because of what I desire for you. You see, Paul, as a godly leader and any spiritual pastor, wants the blessings of God upon the flock. I have a prayer book on my desk upstairs. I have every member of our church in that prayer book. And I pray for the families, and I pray for those of you that commute, and sometimes there's a name I'll pray, and I can't remember the face, and I'll do some research, and I try to learn who I'm praying for and how to pray effectively. And I pray for God's blessing. I pray for health. I pray for God's leading in your life. And I want God to bless your life. And Paul wanted God to bless their life. And he said, listen, this isn't about me getting a gift. It's about fruit that will abound to your account. It's so that when you get to heaven, you'll be glad you furthered the gospel. And I really believe that when we get to heaven, there are going to be people that come to us, and they're going to say, thank you for sending the missionaries to Honduras and to Mexico and to India. Thank you for sending the gospel. And you see, when we're involved in the mission of the gospel, then souls are saved, and that fruit is added to our eternal account. I'm going to tell you something. The stock market goes up and down, but eternity is forever. And when children are saved in these buildings, it's added to our account. This is the principle Paul is saying. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that might abound to your account. What a blessing to think of these truths. I think of just this last year in these buildings on this property, there were 1,387 people who prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They took the time, they heard the message, they made the decision to trust Christ as their Savior. And for those of us who've been giving in this ministry, that is fruit that abounds to our account. Those are people that maybe you haven't met yet. Maybe they're seventh graders. Maybe they're Spanish speakers. Maybe they're in the Korean department. Maybe they're sitting right next to you this morning. I don't know. But these are people who've come to know Christ. And we all have a part in that as we give to the work of the Lord. This is what the Bible speaks of in Matthew 6:19 when it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Have you figured out that cars break and cars rust and things on this earth break and sometimes are stolen? How many of you have ever had somebody steal something from your car or your house? Let me see. Anybody in here? Lots of us. Hey, I got good news for you. You don't need an alarm system in heaven. There's no graffiti in heaven. There's no thieves in heaven. And I want you to recognize that as we give, we're laying up in store heavenly blessings, the Bible teaches. Someone said it this way. They said, God demands a tithe, but he deserves an offering. The tithe is the Lord, and that's the Lord's. The Bible says it. The tithe is the Lord's. But this is an offering for the work of the Lord to continue the mission. And so it was a sacrifice that was eternal in nature. Secondly, it was provisional. The sacrifice was provisional. And what I mean by that, it met a need. All right? It met a need. Now, this is very simple this morning, but look at verse 18. Paul said, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent." Now, the reason that Paul said this was Pastor Epaphroditus had come all the way from Philippi. He had delivered an offering. It may have been currency, it may have been clothing, it may have been books, but he was meeting the need. And I want us just in the very practical realization today, when we give, we're laying up in store, we're giving to the Lord. But when we give, we're also meeting a need. It's provisional, it meets a need. And then I want you to understand that as the need is met, God receives the glory. Now all of us need to understand that we must grow in faith and we must trust God to provide. We must trust the Lord along the way. We as a ministry family consider every one of you a blessing from the Lord. The Lord adds to the church. And God, we feel, has just been blessing faith through the years. And God has been meeting needs. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, "You've been a part of the process of the gospel message. You've provided for the need." Notice, though, it was an eternal sacrifice. It was a provisional. But notice, thirdly, the sacrifice was acceptable to God. And that's what's most important. It's awesome that Paul's need was met. It's awesome the ministry was going forward. But look, if you would, now at verse 18. It says, he says, "We received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent of you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, this language comes back from the Old Testament era, Exodus 29, when the Bible says, "Thou shalt offer a ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Now, the term sweet savor is used to illustrate the fact that God's righteous and justice demands were met in the Old Testament by the sacrificial lamb, but in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, the Word of God is telling that when we give to the Lord, even as the lamb is a sweet savor to God, our offerings are a sweet savor unto the Lord, that God is pleased. And so the sacrifice was a sweet savor. And then secondly, it was an acceptable offering. The Bible says in verse 18, a sacrifice acceptable. Now, it was acceptable because it was from a blood-washed band of believers. The only thing good about me is that Jesus has forgiven me. And the only thing good about you is that you're under the blood of Jesus Christ. But God says when the blood-washed band or the local church offers to me something like this, it is pleasing to me because it is coming in the spirit and the form of worship. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved than in them that perish. And so, in other words, when you're in Christ, you can offer a sweet, savory offering unto the Lord. Just as a side note, how many of you recognize that if you're a Christian, the Bible calls you a believer priest? And priests can offer sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, our Roman Catholic friends do not understand the concept of the priest. They have an unbiblical concept. For example, they will go into the confessional booth, and I've seen this many times with my own eyes, and they'll come into the confessional booth and they'll say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." And they'll tell their sins, and then the priest will say something like this: "That'll be 95 Hail Marys and 45 do this and 56 read that," and then they're done, and they've told the priest their sin. I want to remind you this morning that if you're a Christian, that you don't go to a man and confess your sin. There is one God and one man and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. You can pray directly to God through the Son. Amen? Amen. We have direct access. And the Bible says that we are believer priests. We have a high priest, Jesus, but all of us have the privileges of priesthood. Now notice this, 1 Peter 2:5. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." What I want you to recognize is this. As Christians washed in the blood, we can approach God and we can bring our own sacrifices to the Lord. We read that in Hebrews a moment ago. We can bring sacrifices to the Lord. We can bring the sacrifice of our song to the Lord and worship Him in song. We can bring the sacrifice of our service to the Lord. We can bring the sacrifice of our giving to the Lord. And I want you to recognize, for those that are cynical about giving and those that are unsaved and think it's dumb to give, for those that are mature Christians, it is a very personal part of worshiping God. It is me, it is you saying, "Lord, with this offering, I worship you. With this offering, I ascribe worth to you. I bring a sacrifice to you." And the Bible tells us that this giving was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. One more phrase in verse 18, well pleasing to God. Would you say that with me? Well Now you say, "Well, I'm under grace and God's pleased with me no matter what." And you're right. We're saved by grace. You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven. I mean, the thief on the cross didn't even get baptized and he went to heaven. Jesus said, "This day thou wilt be with me in paradise." You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christians can please the Father and they can displease the Father. I have 4 grown children. And for the vast majority of their lives, they've always just pleased me, but every once in a while, they hurt my heart. Some of you parents would say the same thing today. And I want you to recognize that the goal of our lives should be to glorify God and to bless His heart, to be a blessing. And this is what the Bible says in verse 18, well-pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well-pleased." It's like the dad and the little boy that were in the backyard and they were playing store. And the boy sold his father a pair of binoculars and the father gave the boy $5. And the little boy said, "Hey, Dad, we're playing store. We're not playing church." We should not treat God like the waitress that gets the leftover tip. But with a worshipful heart, we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings next Sunday night, and we say, "Lord, I give this to you from a heart of love." And Paul said, when you do that, it is well pleasing to God. The Philippians had a continual stewardship. The Philippians had a continual sacrifice in their stewardship, well pleasing to God. And then I want you to notice finally this morning, they also had a continual supply of blessing. They had a continual supply of blessing. Now notice verse 19, one of the great verses in all of the Bible for me. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, some of you that are just learning about stewardship these few weeks, if you're like I am, maybe Terry and I, when we first were dating, getting ready for marriage, we looked at even the matter of tithing and we put it out on paper and it did not make sense. I think I was making $160 a week and I thought, how can I give $16 a week?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you.
Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.